Domestic abuse. Incidents of domestic abuse here in Northern Ireland are at a 10-year high, with police responding to 78 reports of abuse in the home every day. That's one report every 18 minutes. Now, abuse can take many forms, but this morning we're going to look at the psychological side of being in an abusive relationship and how victims here don't have the same protection as victims in England and Wales. Joining me in the studio, we have Lenore Rice from Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors and Mary Brown from Women's Aid on the line. Ladies, you're both very, very welcome today, Time on Downtown. Mary, if I can just start with yourself, just tell us about the sort of calls that you're taking from women on a daily basis.
Well, women, obviously there's a range of abuse that happens in domestic violence, but psychological and financial and all of those coercive abuse that happens on a daily basis. And sometimes, you know, women don't feel they can come forward until they've been hit. But when you look at it, that, you know, there's been a major amount of psychological control and abuse of them. And a lot of that is done and really denigrates them as people and takes away a lot of their own capability to function. And yet it's not recognised in law.
And Mary, talk to me about that psychological abuse. What have victims of psychological abuse told you? How has it manifested itself?
Well, it varies from case to case, but there are women who will talk about not being allowed to do, to exercise, to do anything that they want to do, not being allowed to go out, to some of them not being allowed out of the house, not being allowed to shop, not being allowed to buy what they want to buy. A total coercive control that, you know, that they don't have any choice or any decisions to make, you know, even around themselves. Being told that they are useless, that they, you know, that they're bad mothers, that there's a whole range of things that actually because they're isolated as well, a lot of the time isolated from friends, from family, you know, saying that they don't want them around, so therefore they're only hearing one voice, and that voice is a voice of an abuser.
And some victims even going so far to say that the violence was easier to stick than the psychological abuse.
Oh, we hear that on a daily basis. We say sometimes, you know, we hear that sometimes when he's hit them, it's a relief, you know, because also the psychological abuse is very intentional, and it's persistent and it's ongoing, you know, so that nearly, and, you know, we women would talk about walking in eggshells a lot, you know, being frightened, being scared, and nearly when they're physically assaulted, that it's actually a relief because, you know, it might stop for a while and then, but it always generally starts up again, and it goes in a cycle. And quite often we meet women that have been in that cycle for many years, anything from 5 to 35 years. Last week we admitted somebody at 66 who'd been suffering abuse all of her life.
Horrendous way for anybody to have to live. I'm just going to bring Lenore Rice in here from Wilson Nesbitt. Lenore, so our law differs to the law across in England and Wales, so therefore victims of domestic violence here don't have the same protection. Tell us why.
Yeah, unfortunately our legislation stems back to 1998, so currently there is a need perhaps to have it refreshed. That Family Homes and Domestic Violence Order, it covers things such as, you know, destruction of your property, physical attacks, control over money, personal items. And then it goes on to the more subtle issues, some of which Mary has covered. The difference then in England is that they have actually brought out this new law that tackles this controlling or coercive behaviour. That real subtlety, you know, it's not as evident, and it's the one that people just loathe to admit that that's how they've been living their lives.
And what behaviour do the current domestic abuse laws in Northern Ireland actually offer protection against then?
Well, we can get, currently you can get a non-molestation order or an occupation order. So the occupation order, that strand would allow a party to live in the property, say. That's really important, particularly if there's young children or you're not the homeowner and that has been your home. The non-molestation order will protect the perpetrator from, it'll protect the person from any harassment, physical physical, emotional abuse, anything like that. And the perpetrator is not allowed to do any of that, and nor is he allowed to instruct a third party to do so.
Now, I know recently the Justice Minister, Claire Sugden, talked about this new law and maybe bringing it in by next year. What do you think the likelihood is of it coming into force here in Northern Ireland, or what needs to happen for it to take effect, Lenore?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot will need to be done, and I, as far as I'm aware, it is, and you know, she will push to get it into draft form. Generally, we'll tend to find that we will take a steer from the England and Wales legislation. So if there's a good template in place, then, you know, sometimes there's no real reason to reinvent the wheel, so as to speak. But if there's a genuine need for it, and statistics are saying, and that's the statistics that we actually know about, are saying that, you know, domestic violence and these cases are on the up. That being said, the statistics are only as good as really the reports that are coming in. You know, there's always that element of people who are loath to come forward.
Yeah. Mary, are you confident that the Justice Minister will follow suit and give victims here in Northern Ireland the same rights as victims of domestic abuse in other parts of the UK?
Yes, I am. I think Claire Sugden really gets domestic violence. She's very knowledgeable. I've met with her twice. She speaks with it about it with an understanding. And I think that, you know, I would believe her when she says she will do her utmost to get it, and I do believe that it will move forward. And Women's Aid obviously will work with government. We've worked with them throughout the consultation period. We gathered hundreds of women right across Northern Ireland to talk to officials in the Justice Department about what coercive abuse is and how it manifests itself. So they've got lots of good information, and it would be great if this could continue. We would really like to help the implementation. And I think when we look at the UK as well, some of the reporting hasn't gone up yet in coercive abuse, and I think it's key to train police officers. And I'm currently working very closely with the police, as it's all Women's Aid, so it would be key to train police officers to be ready and for us to get this piece of legislation right. And yes, it's right that we lift from England, but we also take the lessons from that, you know, things that didn't go well, so that we get a better piece of legislation in here that really goes, you know, the full gambit of really protecting those most vulnerable.
And Mary, what are the signs that relatives or friends should look out for if they suspect someone is the victim of domestic abuse?
Well, you know, one of the things is if you're not getting access to that person, and they're being isolated, they're being controlled, and coercive abuse happens on. It happens to the children as well. So children are coercively, they're not allowed to do things. They're not allowed to have friends. They're not allowed to have people in the house. Isolation is key. And then there are other things like, you know, not being allowed to have a point of view, not being allowed to voice anything, not being allowed to wear what you want, not being allowed any money.
Just living with a control freak.
Just living with a control freak, and you know, and it manifests itself. I mean, we've seen women who've lost every penny they've had. They've been coerced into signing forms, into, you know, documents, into, you know, where they have no money, yet they may have earned a lot of money, but they've been coerced, and financial abuse is a key part of that, and controlling the children is a key part of it. And that manifests itself in mental health and a range of other issues for women as well, you know. But you can pick it up from where you see. I remember once going to a house where the children were, you know, they were 2 and 3 and they didn't move. That's not normal behaviour for children. You know, they didn't move when he was in the home. You know, they didn't. They sat in the corner and they didn't move. That's not normal behaviour for children. So the children pick up very quickly that they can't, you know, play or do normal things because they have to be, you know, in the corner, they have to be quiet, and they are being controlled. And that for a mother as well, to try and protect her children and deal with that and be coercively controlled herself. That's quite difficult.
It is indeed. Lenore Rice from Wilson Nesbitt, what steps can victims take to get help? You know, it's obviously difficult with the difference in the legislation, but for anybody who needs help now, and we heard Mary outlining that, you know, coercing women to sign forms, that financial abuse, that controlling of the children, that, you know, walking on eggshells.
Absolutely. And I mean, my advice would be, and this goes out to gentlemen as well, it's not always the woman, you know,
indeed,
who's the victim. Go to Women's Aid, go to the police, your solicitor, a trusted person, be it, I know it's very, very difficult, even someone who's in a position of trust, you know, a minister, you know, an employer, a friend, family, because if you can't get to the police or the solicitor yourself because you've been so curtailed, then hopefully they can do that for you. But, you know, get advice. There are reliefs out there. Mary's touched on the children issues as well. You can get supervised contact, orders put in place so that the children are still meeting, maybe if it is that parent that is the perpetrator, but in a controlled environment, that their contact's been assessed so that the children aren't being victimised then also. So there's lots of reliefs. Legal Aid have a pilot scheme at the minute. It's still running to bring proceedings in non-molestation orders. So we will assess you, and, you know, it may be that you can get that, as you know, it's not pleasant proceedings, but still nonetheless you get that, those to bring those proceedings, and Legal Aid will hopefully fund your case.
So there is a way out of the dark tunnel. Anyone
there is,
who's listening to
it's
this
always
today,
a difficult,
there is a way.
I mean, we always are saying to clients, you know, get yourself a support network behind you, because sometimes these proceedings, they're not pleasant and they're not particularly nice. You know, coming face to face with your perpetrator in a forum that they're maybe not used to being in. So get yourself a support system, good friends, you know, the help of Women's Aid and other charities and you know, networks that are out there.
Indeed. Lenore, we do have to leave it there. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Lenore Rice from Wilson Nesbitt and Mary Brown from Women's Aid. If I can just leave you with the number, the helpline number for Women's Aid, it is 0808 2000 247.
On the Case, in partnership with Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors, the forward-thinking legal people. Downtown on Digital Radio, province-wide.